Welcome to Sports Mad Rez's This Week in Review podcast, where we highlight the recent news in sports medicine research. This past week's most popular post on sportsmedrez.org discussed a study that found that in a mouse model, high-dose injections of a bisphosphonate delayed joint damage compared with low-dose bisphosphonate or a placebo. Post-traumatic osteoarthritis is a common long-term consequence of anterior cruciate ligament injury. Unfortunately, there's no approved therapy to prevent or slow the onset of post-traumatic osteoarthritis. Bisphosphonates are typically used to treat osteoporosis, but may also be beneficial in delaying post-traumatic osteoarthritis. However, this isn't proven. Therefore, Khorasani and colleagues completed a study to better understand the effectiveness of bisphosphonates in mice with or without an ACL rupture. The authors obtained 90 female mice and randomized them into groups based on injury status, study duration, which consisted of 7, 14, or 56 days, and intervention, which consisted of placebo, a low-dose bisphosphonate, or a high-dose bisphosphonate. The mice received doses immediately after the injury and then twice weekly. 54 mice experienced a non-invasive ACL rupture by a tibial compression overload. 36 mice had light compression, but not enough to induce an ACL injury. Mice were sacrificed at 7, 14, or 56 days post-injury, and the authors assessed measures of bone turnover and cartilage damage. The authors found that in all groups, at the 56-day post-injury time point, trabecular bone mass decreased and considerable osteophyte formation was present. However, at 7 and 14 days post-injury, the low-dose bisphosphonate group and the placebo group showed trabecular bone loss and cartilage thinning, while the high-dose bisphosphonate group showed significantly less bone loss and cartilage degeneration. The results of the current study are encouraging because high-dose bisphosphonates slowed the development of post-traumatic osteoarthritis. But while bisphosphonate delayed degenerative changes, it failed to prevent post-traumatic osteoarthritis. The authors acknowledge that there's conflicting evidence surrounding the use of bisphosphonates, and therefore more research is needed to understand how this treatment would impact humans. If the treatment is effective in the short term, but not in the long term, then perhaps a better treatment option exists. An important aspect of this study, and many other animal studies that evaluate therapies to prevent post-traumatic osteoarthritis, was that the therapy was started immediately after the injury. In contrast, we often don't think about slowing the development of joint damage until months or years after a patient's knee injury. Perhaps it is time for clinicians and researchers to consider therapies to slow or prevent post-traumatic osteoarthritis at the time of injury. Until a treatment becomes available, clinicians should continue educating their athletes about the long-term implications of their injuries and continue the most effective, evidence-based treatment. Don't forget that we also share extra material on social media. For example, this past week, our social media posts included a study that found that isometric shoulder flexion in the quadruped position showed the highest amplitude of electromyographic activity of the serratus anterior and lower trapezius muscles compared with the free motion exercises. If you have a question that you'd like us to address on this podcast, send us a message via social media. And remember, you can always follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Google Plus, or LinkedIn. We'll be back next week with more sports medicine research. Until then, have a fun one.